So, if I didn't introduce myself, I may not have. I'm sorry, that was rude. My name is Daniel. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're going to get into the message. How's that sound? Is that good? All right. So, there was a movie that came out, I think, in the 90s called What Women Want, starring Mel Gibson. And the premise of this movie is really interesting. There's these... Mel Gibson is a guy, I won't describe him. but anyway, he's been given a gift. He can hear the inner thoughts of women out loud. If he comes across them, he comes and he can actually hear what they're thinking. Some of you look afraid. We can't do that here, I promise you. Nobody can do that. But it's interesting. So as you watch the movie, they do it so that the actresses just do voiceovers so that the audience and Mel Gibson can hear their thoughts, and then he gets to learn. And so imagine what that would be like right now if you could hear the voices in people's heads right now, what you would hear. And I suspect that it would be a little bit like it was in What Women Want, because a lot of what he was hearing was very self-critical and anxious thoughts. And it reminds me of a psalm. So we're going to go to this psalm and think about this. This is a prayer that David had, and it was this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." So this morning, if you are here and you have anxious thoughts, I want to tell you, you're a sinner and you need to repent. How dare you? No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I'm here to say you're normal if you have anxious thoughts. And I love this psalm here as it invites people just to pray and invite God to know the anxious thoughts. Because sometimes maybe there's some people who can really appear to be really confident and you might think they never are anxious about anything. But somewhere in there, there's some anxious thoughts. There might be self-criticism. There could be some fears. And so we might be surprised as to the anxiety that other people have too. That's one of the nice things that we have of coming into a church and being a group together, is we know that there's people around us that are going through battles. We don't know about them, but we know that they are. And we want to try to be there for each other, as we all know what it's like to live in the world and to have fears and anxieties and worries and to be going through it. And it can be helpful to have other people. So in the scriptures, they tell us that we don't need to hide these and we don't need to hide them from God. So today I want to just kind of start out here by following what the psalmist is telling us to do. And just, if you maybe want to just open your hands up in like a posture of openness, of asking God. But let's just like recite this as a prayer to God, inviting God to know our heart, know our anxious thoughts. He already knows anyway. We might as well invite him to do it. So again, if you want to pray that prayer, I invite you just to read this psalm with me as a prayer. Search me, God. Oh, let's go back so we can read it. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Very good. I have anxious thoughts. Sometimes my thoughts are very anxious on Sunday. Sometimes I have these anxious thoughts about if I said or did the right thing. I worry that I'll say the right thing. I worry that I won't do the right thing. I worry about what other people think. Sometimes I worry that I won't have enough money or things will get too expensive. I worry that maybe I forgot something really important. I worry sometimes about my loved ones and maybe I'm bringing them harm because there's something that I should be doing that I'm not. I worry that maybe I'm not doing enough. I worry, and I have these anxious thoughts. So if you have these anxious thoughts, again, you're not alone. We've already invited God to know our anxious thoughts. It's not a surprise to him. And we're asking, because the scripture acknowledges that there are different voices that we hear in our heads. We have these, in addition to these, though, the scriptures tell us that there's another voice that we can listen to. And the voice of the Lord. And as thinking about this, that there's other voices, there's some scripture that I want to go to that's just some of my favorite scripture that talks about the voice of God, the voice of the Lord. Because, you know, it's not audible like our voices are. But how do you hear that voice and what is it like? And so the story, we're just going to look at one little verse to put it in context. There's a story about a guy named Elijah, and he's in a season where he's very discouraged, depressed. He even wants to die, and he's escaping. He's retreating. He's running away, and he goes out into the wilderness, and he's wanting to hear from God. And so he gets away by himself. He's escaped. He's afraid of people. He's discouraged. And then it says, there's this great description of how God speaks to him. And it tells us this story. There's this violent wind, kind of like a tornado. It comes through and it like rips the mountains. It does all this destruction. It's this great and loud thing. And then the scriptures say, but God was not in the wind. And then there's this like earthquake and everything's really shaken. Again, it's spectacular. It's loud. It captures your attention. But there's that little detail, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And that leads us to this verse. Again, we're just doing this one verse today, but it says in 1 Kings 19:12, after the earthquake came a fire, again, something that's blazing and grabs your attention. It's spectacular. You can't miss it. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that is the voice of God, a gentle whisper. Now, other translations will say something like a still, small voice. I love that language. It's still, it's small. And most of the translations use whisper. It may be a low whisper, a quiet whisper, and a gentle whisper. And so when the Lord is talking, when the scriptures are talking about how the Lord speaks, this is one just great image that we have as a reminder that the Lord can speak in gentle whispers. Those can be really hard to hear. And I'll say throughout my life, one of my struggles has been not having confidence that I can hear God's voice. Because I hear a lot of different voices, but can I, like, what does that mean? And think I've got a lot of baggage with this, honestly, because I've had people come up to me so many times and they say, God told me to tell you, and then it's something mean. And I'm like, oh, that kind of sounds like you. Are you sure God said that? Are you projecting God onto your thoughts about something you don't like about me? So like I've heard those things, and then God told me, and then they just say something that's kind of flattering to me, and they maybe want something out of me. Or God told me, and then they say something that I think is insane. So I have kind of baggage with this even language. God told me to tell you. And it's like, it's gotten in there. And again, I got to kind of sort through it. Because at times I think, oh, like, who am I to think that God could speak to me? Or, you know, like I hear these people, they say God spoke to me and it just doesn't seem like it. Like, I don't want to be one of those crazy ones too that blames God for whatever thought. Because like, how do I know it's my thought or God's thought? And I've, again, wrestled with that. I've dealt with that baggage. And one of the reasons too, like it stirs up, so some of those voices, they stirred up my own anxiety and my own like reactive voices that have increased my shame. And those loud voices that can call out in your head and they can say things about what you need to do differently or kind of get preachy or, you know, whatever it is. And it's taken me much prayer and meditating on scripture for me to realize I don't have to listen to those other voices. And when people say, God told me to tell you, I can pretty much almost shut that one down. Because usually what I'm going to hear is probably not something from that person, and God needs to tell me that if he's telling that person. It's kind of like the old joke, maybe you've heard it. People used to say, God told me to tell you that we're going to get married. And the response is, cool, let's get married after God tells me, right? You got to make sure God speaks to you and not just like delegate your God discernment to somebody else, because that's kind of the stuff of cults and abuse. So I've wrestled with that and trying to think about it, and I'm working to hear God's voice. And one of the things that I hear the Lord saying and leading is I like, God, you know, like as he knows my anxious thoughts and he speaks into it, there's something that's really surprising and counterintuitive to me. And we're going to talk about a Bible verse that I couldn't believe was in the Bible because it seemed like blasphemous or the opposite of what I should do. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But I was thinking about, like, in my own experience, the things that God tells me to do and what I'm after and what causes my anxiety. We talk about in the Church of God I grew up, and we talked about sanctification. Sanctification means being set apart for God. And it's a great thing. We talked about two works of grace, like salvation, where God comes in and we belong to him and we're saved. And then sanctification later of you get to this place. And the way that I grew up understanding it was that I'd get more and more righteous. Or I should get to this place where I just get to the point. And I've just never really been able to get there. So I needed to try harder and harder to be more righteous. So every time I felt like I was falling short, it was like, I got to try harder. And it was usually kind of shame pushing me on to try harder. And this is almost kind of the opposite of what I thought a good Christian did or was. You may be surprised to this in the Bible, but we're going to go to this verse that I feel like the Lord keeps whispering to me to speak to my heart. Ecclesiastes 7:16. Do not be over righteous, neither be over wise. Why destroy yourself? Over righteous? Like, what does that mean? Like, when I first heard that, I was like, there's no such thing, is there? Like, how can you be too righteous? Like, because for me, I thought the goal was to become more and more righteous, and I could never be righteous enough. And it reminded me of a country song. Sorry, Jenny. But I'm going to share it. I won't sing it. Oh, somebody wants to hear me sing. Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. This song was called Too Much Fun. And it goes, too much fun, what's that mean? It's like too much money. There's no such thing. It's like a girl too pretty with too much class, being too lucky, a car too fast. I don't care what they say I done. I ain't never had too much fun. I didn't clean up the grammar. That was good enough, right? But you kind of get like, is there such a thing as too much fun? I don't think so, right? Is there such a thing as too much righteousness or too much wisdom? Like, what in the world is this saying to me? And if maybe we were to put it into a country song, it would be something like, too much righteousness, what does that mean? It's like too much prayer, there's no such thing. I'll spare you there, but that's as far as I got. But what in the world could that possibly be? What does it look like to be over righteous? And then we should take that seriously too, because it says if you're over righteous, you destroy yourself. I was like, I wonder, I think maybe this is one of the things that's maybe causing my anxiety. Over righteousness, trying too hard. It destroys me, but it's not the only voice. We're going to go to Jesus now, because we're supposed to be talking about Jesus in this series. So let's go to something that Jesus said in John 10:14. There's a series we did in the spring that I'm mourning. I miss it, but it's about the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is from the 23rd Psalm, and it's from what Jesus said as he called himself the Good Shepherd, the fulfillment of the hope that we have in that famous 23rd Psalm. But this is what he says there. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. I'm the shepherd, right? No. Nope, the pastor's not the shepherd. Like, even if we call pastors shepherds, which is a great name for a pastor, the pastors are under shepherds. Because there's one shepherd, and that is Jesus. That's Christ. He's the one shepherd, and he assures us that his sheep will hear his voice. So we can have some reasonable confidence, if we're really tuned in, that we can hear his voice. So as we think about sheep, and we think about anxiety and fear in our thoughts, I have a question for you. Do sheep have a reason to be anxious?
Yes.
Why do sheep have a reason to be anxious?
Predators.
And specifically, wolves. But sheep are vulnerable to predators. They're vulnerable to wolves. And Jesus used that imagery often, a sheep and a wolf. That you are in danger of that. And one of the problems, he says, is that there are wolves who go in sheep's clothing, and they pretend to be sheep, or they pretend to be a shepherd, or they pretend to be grandma, as they do in Little Red Riding Hood. But why did the wolf dress up as grandma? To try to gain the trust of Little Red Riding Hood, so she would get close, so the wolf grandma could give her a big hug, right? Give her love. Nope. The wolf dressed up in grandma's clothes because the wolf wants to devour people. The intent of a wolf is to devour and destroy. It may appear to gain trust for a while, but over time, you're going to see that a wolf will want to destroy people. Not just say things you don't agree with. Sometimes that's happened in like Christian circles. Somebody's a wolf if they teach something that you don't like. But Jesus talked about a wolf being somebody who was actually trying to get close so that they could bring destruction. The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, as Jesus said, but wolves don't want to do that. Wolves may try to gain trust so they can devour you. Just as they do when they send their little text notifications or they talk to you about the help that they want to give you with your bank or whatever. They want to try to gain your trust that they're from some organization that you think so they can steal from you or devour your bank account or whatever they're trying to do. But sheeps and wolves. Devour or be devoured. And Jesus is like the opposite, is the good shepherd. He's nothing like a wolf because wolves want to devour the sheep. And Jesus described himself as the one who was going to be destroyed for the sheep. He was willing to put himself in harm's way for the sheep. He was going to be the one who took it, not the one who did it. So Jesus, the character of him, is just so much the opposite. Now again, as we were doing this 23rd Psalm, Good Shepherd series, I came to a new appreciation for a couple of people from the Church of God Anderson and fellow Anderson University alumni, like myself and some of us others, Bill and Gloria Gaither. And there were so many times their songs were just kind of coming to my mind, especially that whole series. And I kept thinking, they wrote a song about a shepherd. And I was like, wow, they've really thought about this and processed it because they came up with an adjective for the shepherd. And do you know what their adjective was for the shepherd that they invited to come and feed us? Some of you know. Gentle. The shepherd is gentle. How does God speak? In a gentle whisper. Bill and Gloria Gaither, they're good songwriters, you know? They're pretty good. They know what they're talking about. They've studied the scriptures and the character of Jesus and the gentle shepherd that we have. So we invite him, come and lead us. So what is it that he has to say? Well, Jesus said this, as we think about what he says to us. This is in Luke 6:45, and we're using the New Living Translation here. But he says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. Now, some people speak words that are insincere, they flatter, but eventually, for everybody, if they're in a safe space, what's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth, unless there's pretense going on. And Jesus came, we believe, full of grace, full of truth. He was always true and sincere. And so what is his heart like? That's one of the big questions. So let's hear, as far as I know, there's only one place where Jesus described what his heart is like. And that place is in Matthew 11:29. This whole passage is great. We're just lifting this part out of it. But he talks about his heart here. He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. So if Jesus is speaking in those low whispers, what kind of words is he saying? The words that are coming are gentle and humble. As I think about how the voices in my head and my own voice in my head differs from the voice of Jesus when he's speaking, one of the things that I've noticed is tone. My tone is so much harsher usually, or those voices are usually harsher, and they're more accusation. Whereas Jesus, when Christ is speaking, it's more of a gentle tone. Now, does that mean that the Lord always tells me just what I want to hear and affirms everything and never wants me to repent or do anything different? Absolutely not. One of the things that I've noticed when it's the accusation and the shame that's triggered, and maybe I'm just trying harder, it doesn't really help. It usually makes me want to run and hide, or makes me want to lash out in anger or just double down, but I feel more and more anxiety. But the voice of the Lord that's gentle, he will lead us to repentance, but it's his kindness. He does it in a way that's gentle and helpful, firm and gentle. That is one of the differences for me when the Lord's speaking to me versus the other voices. Now, we've been really blessed here over the last couple months. The Lord sent somebody to our church who has been a godsend. His name is Johnny Baker. Johnny Baker is a firefighter with Station 19. It's just southwest of Lucas Oil Stadium. This week, Pastor Emily and I were invited to take a tour. We brought some donuts to the firefighters because Johnny said it's not just cops who like donuts. We like them too. So we're like, hey, and we're going to take Rise and Roll, the good ones. Well, sorry, Long's is good too, just so you know. So we took some Rise and Roll donuts to Fire Station 19. And these strong firefighters who were there to protect our city, they were just so welcoming and hospitable. I would say they were gentle and strong, because we felt nothing but welcomed. They were thrilled. They were grateful. And it made a whole lot of sense. It felt like these guys were righteous, because I know just being there, I just felt free and I was grateful. And Johnny, and just we just had a great time with him. He's working today. He was disappointed. I did get his permission to share this. So maybe he'll watch on YouTube, but he said, I got to work. God bless you, Johnny. So God bless Johnny. And if you ever see him, thank him for what he does, maybe. But after we left, I left for a gathering of Christian leaders. And the Christian leaders that I came across, I felt way less accepted. I felt like their words, and there's one of them in particular, the words that I've always gotten from this one are harsh and just not pleasant to be around at all. Just always like telling me how I need to like accept Jesus as he knows Jesus. He's got those kind of messages. And so I left kind of that meeting with some of those other Christian leaders feeling like the opposite as I did. And kind of wondering like, I wonder why Jesus liked hanging out some of the rowdy crowd better than some of this uber-religious crowd. I wonder. And also, like, maybe one group felt righteous and maybe another one's a little over-righteous. I don't know. But I do know that I felt more free with the firefighters, and that was a much more positive experience. Another John, speaking of Johnny, another John who was Jesus' beloved disciple, that's how he identified himself, said that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he said he came full of grace and full of truth. A lot of people, and maybe we'll use truth as something to beat people over the head with it. Sometimes we call them Jesus jukes to try to make people feel guilty or whatever. And I get that. We think maybe that'll make people repent or feel bad about what they've done. But I've been hit by a few Jesus jukes and people maybe who intend to do that to show, hey, this is how you want to change, and here's the truth, accept the truth. So in contrast to that, so Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. He said this in John 8:31. Yeah, this is what I wanted to get to. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that beautiful? The truth will set you free. I mean, I've had truth presented at me in a way that didn't, like, it felt like I had to believe what they believed, even though I couldn't. And then maybe I had hope. But Jesus, when he speaks to us, there's a truth that will set us free. Because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And if Jesus, the Son, sets you free, you're free indeed. So that's one of the things about the voice. The voices in my head, those don't set me free at all. Those over-righteous voices, that's one way that I describe the voice, showing me all the things that I do wrong or need to do more of, and they're not very motivating. But the voice of Jesus gives me that gentle assurance that I don't have to be afraid. Outside voices don't. Jesus is different. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come up, and we're going to listen to a song. We've already invited the Lord to test us and know our anxious thoughts. I just invite you to listen to this song and maybe listen to the gentle whisper of what the Lord maybe says to you, because I think it's good news. Jesus is good news. The gospel is good news. It's good news for us that can set us free. So may you listen to these gentle words, and may the Lord speak to you. So I'm going to leave this with a blessing. This is from the Bible, so feel free to accept this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace.